The following announcement has been paid for by Journey into Wrestling. Things seem to be changing around here, and I'm talking podcasts, brother.
Journey into Comics Network and no JIW? Where's the wrestling?
That's just it, brah. We're making a comeback. JIW is taking over.
Butt stuff, podcastrophy, the poor rapport, all these new guys on the scene. We're about to show them what podcasting is all about, Chico.
Why don't you tell them when they can hear us, Nate?
Every other Wednesday, right here on the Journey into Wrestling Network.
Anything less is just too civilized. New World Order. The following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Today on our show, we cover a myriad of topics, and I do say we because I am joined by my first guest ever, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only host of Podcastrophe, Dick Blaine Tyner. We will talk about this and a lot more right after this. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of The Poor Report. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and I want to thank you for joining me. Now, today is a little different because for the first time, I am not recording from my own place, and I am not recording alone. Joining me today is the host of Podcastrophe and my friend, Dick Blaine Tyner. How are you doing today?
I am doing quite fantastic.
I got to say, I really like your setup here.
Why, thank you.
I feel like you should show this on your show, but like, this is what I'm looking at. Just uh-huh. Dick's view.
Just strap a GoPro to my head and just, that's it.
Just a mobile show. You're just, all right, let's see what I see during the day.
Uh-huh.
Just live stream your whole day from a GoPro.
I don't know how many people would actually want to watch that.
This is really, he's just sitting here watching. This is boring. Oh my gosh. But how can I do this show is the show is a lot about me giving my opinions on various things that come up in current events mm-hmm. or news or things where it's like, what the hell? Why do I have to talk about this? Like every show I go on, I'm like, maybe it's going to be a Trump-free episode. And then like 2 days before, nah, it's not going to be a Trump-free episode. Oh my gosh. But
he just gives you so much to work with.
Yeah, it's like SNL. Everyone's happy when Trump does something stupid because they're like, oh great, I got things to do, things we can make funny. Like, I just watched last night, did a bit with Kellyanne Conway playing It from the mm-hmm. movie. And it's like, let me on your show. It's like doing it with Anderson Cooper, just like, I have a good bit. Like, do you know the hurricane actually made some of the houses blow back together? I was like, oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. But, so I know you're from Indiana, so you're probably affected by this, but you know that Cook County, which is most of Chicago and a lot of the surrounding areas, had a soda tax that they implemented early in the summer. Do you know much about that?
I don't know much about that. I am aware of all the ridiculous taxes in Illinois in general.
Oh yeah,
I'm more aware of the alcohol taxes because I drink when I go up there. So.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and like even with like the soda taxes, like if you get like a 12-pack of soda from a grocery store in Cook County, you're paying like $3 or $4 extra for that pack. And that's ridiculous. And I remember seeing like all these ads up like, repeal this tax. People are driving to like Indiana or to Lake uh-huh. County, which is where I live, so it doesn't bother me. I'm like, doesn't affect me where I eat, where I go to the grocery store. I don't mind one bit. So, but it's just like, and they're like, yeah, this isn't doing what they're like, oh, it'll give us money and it'll make people healthy. But it's like, no. It's like with anything. If someone wants it bad enough, they're going to go wherever they can get it. You can just take it. Like, I mean, you could, like, prohibition worked for no one.
No, it didn't. I mean, hell, even here in Indiana, we can't buy alcohol on a Sunday. But if we really want it, we'll just drive over to Illinois.
Right. I mean, you're just like, drive 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's like, or you just get it all stock up on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what we do, Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. But as we know, they voted to repeal it. I think it was, like, not even a joke. It was, like, one person still wanted to do it. And they're like, all right, now we have this budget gap. They're like, oh, we're going to get like $10 million from this. I'm like, no. All right, well, now we're going to do something else. Probably a gas tax, which would piss everyone else off.
Oh, definitely. We're getting a 10-cent raise.
On gas?
On gas.
In Indiana?
I don't know if it's Indiana or just U.S.
In general?
I heard about that back in June, and it was supposed to take effect in July, so I don't know if it's already been a big deal or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like back a couple years ago when there was gas was just fluctuating so much, you could put that tax on it and no one would notice. Be like,
yeah.
Oh, just a new raise and increase. But remember when gas was like, I remember I paid at most like $4.20 for a gallon. I was like.
Yeah, that was right around when I first got my license. So like, I was like, fuck. Sorry for the language. I don't care.
Sometimes that's all you can say. Just fuck, what are we doing? But yeah, I'm just the amount of taxes sometimes is ridiculous. And I'm lucky I'm at the age where I'm not actually having like mortgage and property tax.
Yeah.
I know that's going to suck.
Oh, yeah.
And like speaking of like houses and property. So you saw the thing about the Breaking Bad house, right?
Yeah.
So
that's been a thing for a while, I think.
Yeah, because like this lady like bought this house in the 70s, been living there, and then like I think it's Vince Gilligan?
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. He approached wanted to shoot the pilot outside her place to fill in as Walter White's house, and then they're going to build the set for the interior and all that. And I guess like, so then obviously Breaking Bad took off and became this massive hit. And then the show's over, and everyone's like, hey, it's Walter White's house. Let's take a picture in front of it. Let's reenact throwing a pizza on the roof because they did it one time for 2 seconds on an episode. And let's just torment this woman. Be like, you're in our shot. I'm like, I live here. I've lived here for 40 years. What do you want from me? And she finally got sick of it and just erected this, like, 10-foot fence. It's like, I feel like she's living in an own prison or an episode of The Walking Dead to get around this whole thing.
Wow.
It's, I don't know. It's just ridiculous that, like, this lady has her whole life just put on rage just because she probably got a little bit of money for them filming outside of her place, like, a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just crazy. I feel bad for it, but at the same time, it's like, I would just contemplate like selling off the house and be like, find someone who's like, hey, you want to turn this into like a museum or a showpiece?
Right.
Or let me sell blue rock candy out on my front lawn to people as they come by to make some money.
Oh, funny story with that. A couple years ago, Brandon and Silent Rob and I, do you know Rob?
I haven't met him, but I know of him.
Okay, yeah. Silent Rob and I and Brandon, we all went and saw Black Sabbath.
Okay.
So on the way to Brandon's house in Frankfurt, Rob and I, we passed a mobile home for sale, and it looked just like the camper from Breaking Bad.
Oh gosh. That reminds me of my brother, because he got a like an RV that looked a lot like that for a wedding present, like just a used one, just like, hey, have it, I'm gonna fix it. I'm like,
oh no,
you live in California in weed country with an RV that looks like from Breaking Bad. You're just living this lifestyle now, aren't you? That's just going
to
be your
life. Well, me and Rob, we're sitting there talking to each other, and we say, like, wouldn't it be awesome to just buy an RV and sell, like, rock candy out of it?
But like,
That's so funny you mentioned that.
Play, I don't know what song you would play, but just, like, drive around neighborhoods.
Huh.
Oh, my gosh. But it's, like, that whole house and everything, there's a... Because, like, you've known the other shows that have been popular that always have, like the Brady House...
Yeah, the Shameless House. If you
Shameless House is in Chicago.
Yeah, my friends have visited that. My friends that live up in Chicago.
Do people actually live there, or is it just owned by the show?
I'm not entirely sure.
So I think they film like they actually film inside of it too, don't they? It's like
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't looked into the behind the scenes stuff for Shameless.
To me, it's just a crappy house in the middle of Chicago.
It could be.
They've been like, how much are you selling this for? Oh, we'll buy it. We'll film it. We'll sit empty the rest of the time. But I would be... Yeah, I... Shameless, I've watched it. It's not a show I can really get into. Do you really like this show?
Oh, yeah. I love that show. Just because it... Whenever it... you think it's hit peak ridiculous, it tops itself. And William H. Macy.
Yeah. Like,
awesome.
I loved William H. Macy. And I just, like... I remember just, like, seeing some of the movies. He did some very dramatic roles. But then you see... him do like this show where he's just like the worst father and just the worst person.
Worst human being imaginable.
I mean, I watched an episode like where he faked his own death.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time he's done it in that show.
believe it may have happened multiple times. I don't know. I binged the whole thing, and then I got to where they were at on TV, and earlier this year. So,
do you prefer binging when you have the opportunity?
It depends. I go back and forth.
Because like, is there some like some shows? I feel like when I rewatch shows, I feel like I binge them. Like How I Met Your Mother, I like went through and like
yeah.
Because sometimes it's just like a random night. You don't want to watch anything like current or draw attention. Like I just need some background show, mm-hmm. and it's like I'll burn through all of How I Met Your Mother, and I'll get to the point where like Marshall's dad dies. I'm like, I need to skip this episode and the next episode.
Man.
I don't need this in my life.
That's what I loved about How I Met Your Mother was it was so funny, but it had those really impactful, heavy hitting moments.
Yeah.
Like when Marshall's dad died.
Yeah, that one was rough.
That was really rough.
The funeral with the phone call, and it's just
oh yeah.
You're just like, it's like both of parents still alive, but this still hurts. Oh god. And then like it's like the end, like with the finale when they have that like that song that she's playing on the ukulele, and it's just Ted like just like crying, and I'm like, oh, it's her. He's mm-hmm. been waiting for her. Oh.
You know, my girlfriend over here, she told me that How I Met Your Mother is no longer going to be on Netflix.
They're taking it off Netflix?
Coming November?
That's so sad. I'm glad I binged it. Just like I did The Office, because I think they took The Office away, too.
Yeah, I've never watched The Office. I have, but here and there.
I think the British one's still on Netflix, but it's... I mean, the only thing you can see is Martin Freeman before he was famous.
Yeah.
Playing, I think, the Jim character, essentially.
Okay.
And then, like, the dude from Pirates of the Caribbean played the Dwight character, the one who had, like, the fake eye.
Oh god!
That's the only people I know from that show. And I'm like,
oh, wow,
what show? It's like one season. That's all I got out of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those shows. But like, we recently talked about because I had finished watching Westworld.
Yeah.
And then I got to like, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is weird. Oh my god. Oh, what are they doing?
Just like, I know Westworld was crazy.
I mean, and that show, I didn't even binge, and I felt like. I just need to like digest each episode because mm-hmm. it's just so much stuff that you don't even see. And then you talk to someone and you're like, but you notice this. And I was like, no. Oh my God. It makes so much more sense now.
I binged, I think the first three episodes and then I was caught up
and you just watched it weekly.
Yeah. That was an interesting show. I tried to watch the season finale about a week or so ago just to, you know, refresh myself. Cause I knew we were going to talk about this.
Yeah. Westworld's one of those shows. Like, I guess I kind of talked about the finale on one of my earlier episodes at the end. Uh-huh. So I guess, what were your thoughts like going into the finale? I know you watched it a second time.
Well, I had known somebody, my good friend Nick Torres, he had theorized that the man in black was the one dude. I can't remember his name.
What was his name?
But he was like, yeah, he's definitely the man in black. He's got
William.
Yeah, William. And he's like, yeah, he's definitely the man in black. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't see how he's like, but what if it's like that part's in the past and this part's in the future, in the present? And I'm like, I don't know, man. And turns out that was exactly the case. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. The fact that they were playing with time, because I think every time they were showing like the group working in the office, it was the future and all this stuff with the cast and everything mm-hmm. of the park were all forward and backwards in time, and they were just reliving the same. I felt like the same couple days over and over again.
Yeah, which they did a really good job at the very beginning establishing the whole repetition, like how everything resets every day.
Yeah,
and then moving forward, you just get story.
Yeah, sorry, I'm gonna apologize in advance. My dog has never been in this place before, and he's just wandering around like, where am I? Just panting and like circling and crying.
He's stuck in a room.
Yeah, he's good. He's been on every show. You can hear him with his jingling of his collar, which I purposely took off this time. I was like, we're not going to hear that today. I don't need a loud jingle every time he shakes his head. But yeah, when I watched Westworld, I got to that finale. I think the character I really loved following was Maeve.
Yeah, she was interesting.
Because she had a whole interesting arc, because like, I think... There's like the one day she didn't go to sleep during like her rebuild or her like rebooting process, and then start communicating with this like random tech dude, this like Asian kid who's just like,
yeah,
I want to be a programmer. Like, and then she just befriends him and then wreaks hell and sees like all of her friends naked on tables being like, you see James Martin in the back of this room getting hosed down. How scientific that show is to be like, yeah, we're just gonna have a guy that just hose all the bodies down at the end of the night.
I really thought like the creation process for the hosts, they're the hosts, right? The robots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. For all the hosts, to create like that little, like, it's a weird like 3D printing process. Like,
yeah.
Where like, it was threading.
Yeah. It's how that kind of like, and they do that every episode in the intro when you saw like that horse going together and like the hand on the piano. And it's just that jingle alone is just, it draws you and you're like, dun, 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 dun. I'm like, oh yeah.
Did you ever notice like the random, like cultural like pop songs throughout the,
I can't remember
which songs that were in it, but they were all played on piano and stuff.
Yeah. And Josh, did you know that the people who did the intro for this also did the same intro for The Walking Dead?
Really?
Or not The Walking Dead, sorry. Game of Thrones.
Okay.
HBO.
Really?
Like the people did all that 3D, almost looks like it's tangible than an effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, I thought that was kind of crazy, but I think when it all came forward with the fact that, I think the big twist for me was when it turned out that, Bernard and Arnold were, Bernard was the host based on Arnold.
Really?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was like earlier in the episode when like, I think, I can't remember how it came out. I think Bernard saw a picture of young Anthony Hopkins and Arnold and another guy. And he's like, oh my God. And then it all makes sense. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't, they're,
it's funny because you're saying all this to me and it's coming back to me because I haven't watched it in a year.
And you're just like,
I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember that.
It's just like when someone like refreshes your memory on something like a movie or something, you're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, and then it just all just comes flooding back to you. Yeah, this is one of those shows I really feel like I need to rewatch it because I know there's things that either I missed or I was too engorged in one story to really focus on something else that was going on in the background. Like the whole thing with, that Maze thing, I really wasn't following when it was first going on. Like when he first, I was distracted by all the stuff going on with like the host and seeing that picture. And I'm like, what is this maze? And what's its point? And then it's like, you're not meant for the maze. And it turned out to be that little like kids game in the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed Westworld. I'm really looking forward to the second season. But I've heard nothing of when
it's going to go.
Yeah. I know there's the other world supposed to, like, I think like, Eastworld, or I don't know what they're gonna call it, the one that, so like the little tease of like the samurais.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're gonna do that.
That'd
be
so sick.
And I know Ed Harris has said like, I'm not gonna don that armor, so I don't know how involved he's gonna be. But he kind of leaves, I know that finale with the empty, they're like deep freeze of all the hosts they built, they're all gone, and then they're all just running out of the field. I'm like, what's gonna like, you see Ed Harris is smiling like they won, because he was the majority shareholder of this company and just wanted to see all of these hosts react and kill all the actual people. I was like, he's just causing chaos. But I guess he just hated there being no consequence to anything he did. It would just reset and time would just keep moving forward. It's definitely, I think, there's been so many like rehashed and like remakes of shows to see something like this, which I guess technically is a remake of like a movie.
Yeah.
But I think they went in a different direction. It's kind of nice to see them kind of push ground in new shows instead of like stick with what works and make like 5 spinoffs to Game of Thrones instead.
Right. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah.
I can watch Game of Thrones all day.
I know, and I still need to catch up. I'm still in the middle of season 5. And I'm gonna, at least I know I have plenty of time because
Season 5.
Because I know Game of Thrones, I think season 8's gonna come back probably early next year, middle next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they've actually like,
we're gonna see. Game of Thrones season 5 was interesting for me because it was the first current season that I had watched. I had binged up until, I think it was 2014.
Okay.
2014, I binged all the way up until the end of season 4. So season 4 was still going on when I finally got caught up to it. It was just like the final 2 episodes or so. But then I had to wait the whole another year for season 5 to pop up. But yeah, season 5 was interesting.
Yeah, I don't much, but I've only seen like the first couple episodes. But I feel like every season, their last, like, usually the first episode, like the last 2 episodes of the season are usually just intense. And like, they're just to like tease you for the next season and just kind of bring you back in and do all the payoffs. And I know because I have a lot of friends that don't care about spoiling things for me, I got like most of the finale of the actual show spoiled. I was like, come on, guys. I wanted to go in blind. I mean, luckily I did for Westworld. I had no spoilers for that. But Game of Thrones, I know what's coming. And I also read the book, so
yeah.
I had an idea, but...
Season 5, there's a lot of character development. And it's kind of a slower season. But it builds everything perfectly for Season 6 and 7.
Yeah, I feel like you need that. Like, you can't... It can't be all action and all, because you don't feel anything for these characters. You kind of have to get a good baseline. Like first seasons of any show are like that. But sometimes you have to do that, like, that re-catch up in the middle to, like, push everyone forward in, like, your understanding of their motives and all that. To then when you get to these big payoff seasons, where I feel like 6, 7, and 8 are all going to be giant payoff seasons and all.
7 was definitely nothing but payoff. Absolutely nothing but payoff and chaos.
I'm excited. I think when I finally get caught up, I'm going to throw a little party, and then maybe I'll binge all of the rest of the show over again in like a month. Downside of watching with a significant other is like, oh, I have to wait for...
Yeah.
So are you just going to watch a show together? Are you going to hold her to
him? Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Haven't decided yet.
We're watching a couple shows together. We just started Big Mouth.
Is that Netflix show? Yeah. Nick Kroll?
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
It is interesting. It's very interesting. What else have we watched? Do you know?
The Ranch.
Well, I'm catching you up on The Ranch. I'm already caught up on that.
That show with
Ashton
two dudes,
Kutcher.
The two dudes from That 70s Show, right?
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher and drawing a blank on his name right now.
Not Martz. Not the other guy from Westworld. I thought he was like John Masterson or something?
Danny Masterson,
yeah.
He's one of three brothers, I think. The Masterson brothers. I don't know who all's. Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess another thing that kind of came out, I guess kind of what went newsworthy, was that the Boy Scouts made a pretty big statement. Yeah. They decided they're going to allow girls to join and kind of go through and get to that Eagle Scout ranking. Yeah.
I haven't read anything on it, but I just saw... I'm one of those people, sometimes I'll see the headline, and that's enough to see. But
so you're the problem. Like,
I'm the problem.
With all those people just, like, comments based on the news, like, the headline. Yeah.
I'm reserved. I'll read it, and like, a headline like that, you kind of know what's coming.
I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
Like, yeah. For Boy Scouts... Okay, so I believe, going into this blind, I believe there should be Boy Scouts and there should be Girl Scouts, but at some point, they should... kind of come together, and that's awesome. Cub Scouts, it becomes Cub Scouts at some point,
right?
I was a Cub Scout.
I got to
Wolf Scout, and I said, hell with this.
Yeah, third place in the Pinewood Derby, and then I was like, I'm out. Thanks, guys. But yeah, I have family that were doing, like, boys were in, like, Boy Scouts their whole lives, and their daughters are now doing, like, Girl Scouts and stuff, and, like, I think it's nice, like, they keep it separate to a point. But I think, like, because Eagle Scouts such a carry star rank, I think, like, in high school moving forward, when there's not as much, like, getaway trips enough where it can be awkward, you can't have, like, preteen boys and girls together at a place. It just causes complications. But I think when they get into the high school point and they start doing, like, the more big service projects, I think that's the point to, like, bring them together and allow these girls the same opportunities as boys, and, like, getting that Eagle Scout ranking and put them on their resume to, like, kind of extend themselves. Because I don't even know what the top levels in Girl Scouts are. There even is one. I don't know enough about Girl Scouts.
Beats me.
I mean, I know one knows they get me for cookies every so often. They're like, right. Stand outside the supermarket and you're like, how much? $4? Oh, fine. Okay. Give me my lemon cookies.
You're right.
But yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's something
me too.
That'll be nice. I guess, I don't know if it's even, it has anything to do with Boy Scouts, but I have it on my list here is that... I remember a story that you were telling me, kind of going back to Game of Thrones, is that you got the tattoo of the House Martell on your chest.
Yeah.
And I know you have a fair amount of tattoos. I don't have any, so I don't kind of know what goes through your mind as, like, you're planning out a new tattoo. So I guess, when did you get your first tattoo?
I got my first tattoo a couple months after I graduated high school. Okay. And it's this one right here on my wrist. It was just this. There's a lot more to it than what originally was there, but it's just the symbol in the middle.
Okay.
No shadows or fog or whatever that is around.
Was it black and white when you got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't quite like how he did it, but that's my own fault. I didn't communicate my idea very well.
You just gave him, like, I want this on my
arm. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, I want it to look like it's in my skin, and he made it look like it was poking through the skin, but it really just looked like he took a pencil eraser and erased what he did, and it was weird.
Yeah.
About three or so years later, by that point I was at a different artist here in Lafayette, and I was like, yeah, I kind of wanted to get this worked on, so we started working on that and somehow he fixed all the mistakes that were there, or not exactly mistakes, but miscommunicated ideas, and he added on all the other stuff, like the words "King Mia is killing me." That's
like almost like there's like lightning coming off around it a little bit. Oh yeah, it's just like it's the way it looks. Almost like it, either almost like it's burnt in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I kind of made him. I said, and when I told the new artist, I said I kind of wanted to make it look like it's stone, and because there's like little cracks in it.
Oh yeah, I see that now.
And he accented it with some like white ink here and there.
Yeah, it looks really
and,
cool.
I was like, I'll make it look like it's like stitched into my skin.
Oh, yeah,
so you can kind of see that now.
Yeah, definitely. I think now that I can see it more in the light, it definitely does make it pop more. And was that, did you get new tattoos between touching up that one?
Oh, yeah. I have this one right here on my right shoulder. I got that for my friend's band, Across the Sun.
It's like a firebird on the...
Yep. It's supposed to be a phoenix.
Oh, nice.
Then I have a cross on my back. Are you familiar with like Viva La Bam or anything like that?
Yeah.
Like the heartogram.
Oh, you
it's a Celtic cross with a heartogram in the middle. It's a memorial tribute, memorial tattoo for my friend who died when I was in high school.
Okay.
We always said we were going to get, cause Bam has that heartogram around his belly button.
Yeah,
and we always said we were going to get that together.
On
so,
the belt. Yeah. Like, no, we're not.
I'm not doing that, but I'll get a cross on my back.
I feel like when you have chest hair, having a tattoo like right there is not the best place for it.
Yeah, and then I got this Game of Thrones tattoo right here on my chest, and like the hair is already starting to grow through it. And
you're like, oh. And you're going to have to shave that. You have to wait a certain amount of time before the skin's even...
I've decided to just wait until it's all...
Now you're gonna, like, it's going to be all covered. You have to see how it looks, and then you're just like, only going to shave
one
part of your... Or maybe just have to go all for it, just clean shave yourself.
We're going to have to see. I don't know. This is in new territory for me, so...
You're going to do the 40-year-old virgin. You're going to get the waxing done.
Oh, my God.
Just scream cut.
Yeah, this is new territory for me, and it sucked getting it hurt a lot there.
I guess you have hair on your arms, though, so it's not like, from some of your arm tattoos, it's probably just something you just roll with.
Yeah, I was...
Like, I guess your underarm has a little bit, but it's probably not bad. I know you're like... Actually, what does that one say?
Narrow House?
Oh, Narrow House.
Narrow House was the very first band I ever saw live.
Oh, nice. When was that?
I want to say fall 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fall 2007. They were a local band. I befriended them, and they were always really good guys to me. I always loved their music, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be so into the music scene today that I am. So about three years ago, I decided to go ahead and get their logo tattooed on me, and they all hate it. Like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But.
And I guess one thing that I've always been intrigued is, like, when you, like, after you decide you want a tattoo, is the next decision where, or?
Yeah. I kind of base what I'm getting based off of where, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's been a while since I've had to think about this stuff.
Because, do you have any, like, on your legs or anything?
Yeah, I got.
Oh.
I have Darth Revan on my right leg.
Nice. That's detailed. That probably took some time.
2 hours.
I'm just sitting there like, how's it going?
No, my artist is unbelievably detailed and fast.
Okay.
A tattoo like that would probably take about 5 hours on somebody else.
And has he done the majority of your tattoos now?
She has. Erica, no, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
I see you just like, oh, shit. No, she's done the majority of them by now. She's great. I was friends with her before she was my artist. And I finally decided to go to her. She's a bit expensive, but she's worth the money.
Yeah. It's probably one of those things, like, once you get a good rapport with someone, they know what you're saying, mm-hmm. and they're able to, like, to communicate better. There's no miscommunications after the inks and the skin.
Well, she really likes tattooing me because she knows, well, for the most part, she knows that I'm always going to bring in something interesting for her to do, minus my meme tattoos.
Right. I'm sure... I it must be with some tattooers, there's probably a lot of repetition of, like, a lot of the same things coming through. Like,
yeah.
Get the name in cursive, or get this like tribal band, or let's do this, or a heart,
Well, she works on campus, Purdue campus.
So she gets a lot of...
She gets a lot of frat boys.
Frat tattoos.
Yeah, so...
Getting, like, the Greek letters across the...
When I got my Game of Thrones tattoo and she was shaving my chest, she was like, well, this is so much better than what I've had to do this week. I'm like, oh yeah? She's like, I've shaved 3 butts this week.
And put frat tattoos on their butt?
Like Purdue PE.
Like, oh, God.
Shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, does she have to be the one to actually shave, or do you have to shave in advance?
She shaves it.
Oh.
I mean, you can shave it in advance, but she shaves it.
That's, yeah, I would never want to deal with that, because I'm sure that she's probably had worse places to shave and put a tattoo on.
I'm guessing. Tattoo artist, man.
Yeah, no.
And they remain professional.
They have to.
They remain super professional.
Yeah, I just joke, like, you want me to put what where? It's an Acosta, all right.
Yeah. I talked to her about it, too, because I'm an avid anti-juggalo. I was like, do you like, just, like, refuse juggalo tattoos? Like, have you ever had to refuse a tattoo? She's like, I've refused tattoos, but if someone's getting, like, a Hatchet Man or an ICP tattoo, I just typically charge them more. I mean, oh, sweet, juggalo tax. I can respect that.
Quiet rebellion.
Yes.
Like, I'll do it, but I'm going to charge you a little bit more because I hate that so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess, usually you got the tattoo for your concert. What usually, how long does it usually take for you to listen to a band before you, like, you really want to see them live? Is it sometimes take a little bit, or do you just, like, oh, I have to see them. I want to hear how they sound different than, like, how they sound on a CD or on a recording.
You know, it's what's really cool is being exposed to all this new music through the Doom Room that I go to. I get to hear them live first.
Oh, that is really nice.
These bigger bands, however, I don't know how long it takes. Because, I mean, I'm always down. If I like a band, I'm always down to see them live. It doesn't matter how long it
takes. Yeah. Have you been, like, disappointed when you've seen a band live that you, like, loved on CD? Or maybe vice versa?
I would say vice versa. I've enjoyed a band live and then hated them on CD. Like, there's a band called Suicide Silence. I saw them. I don't think I liked them. I did not like them, and then I saw them at my very first concert, like, big concert, which was Mayhem Festival in 2008. I saw them, they were playing, and I was like, wow, this is really awesome. This is a lot better than I thought it would be. And I go home, pirate their CD, and it was just garbage.
Like, why?
But the energy is so much different.
Yeah, I can imagine, because something, like, when a band's, like, in a studio with just themselves recording, staring at, like, a glass wall with, like, a guy running... system,
yeah,
to compared to, like, that enthusiasm they get from an audience that's cheering or singing along with them, you're like,
yeah,
it just fuels you to, like, do better or do things differently. Mm-hmm.
And some of that can, it comes down to the mixing and all that too. It's up to the sound engineer to really bring out the spirit of the music, bring out that feeling, and sometimes that just doesn't happen.
And it's even like when you do like a live album, sometimes they still don't even really catch that same feeling. You're like, listen to it, you're like, I've seen them live, but it still doesn't feel right.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But at the same time, it's cool. It's still cool to hear that.
So I remember, I've seen Coheed and Cambria a few times live, and there was I got one of their discs had, like, the second disc had a bunch of live tracks, and one of them actually was one of them that I went to, and I listened to that same song. I'm like, that is not what I heard. Like, it's just like...
Well, there's a different couple different ways you can record a live show. There, you can actually mic everything and use that audio, or you record through the board, and through the board sometimes doesn't always.
Right.
I mean, it'll work for maybe the instruments, but the vocals, if you can't hear the crowd, I don't see what the point of having
it's not live at that point. You really gotta.
I like hearing the crowd in live recordings.
Yeah, that's always good. And I guess at the same token, like with concerts, do you kind of feel the same way about, like, movies that are, like, coming out? Like, do you see, like, if you, like, you see a good teaser for it, or you know kind of what's coming, is that enthuse you more to, like, go see
it? Oh,
yeah, theaters?
Definitely. Definitely. I try to see movies, I mean, especially, like, the Marvel movies. Like, I always try to catch every single one of them in theaters. The only movie I haven't seen this year so far that I really wanted to see in theaters was War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
I managed to miss that.
Yeah, I missed that, too, and like, the trailers always looked, like, amazing, but I don't remember, like, what was coming out at the same time, but it was just, like, not a good time, and then, like, you miss it when it's in theaters, and you're like, crap. Well, I guess I'll rent it. And
uh-huh.
I know when I saw it, when I was coming in here, I saw the fan video on the corner, I'm like, there you go. Just go you know, rent me a movie for $2.99 and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, one of those things, like, sometimes there's movies, you know, like, I want to see it, but I don't want to see it enough to pay, like, $12
yeah.
to sit and buy concessions and all that. And there's movies you're like, all right, I'm gonna see that twice regardless of it could be garbage, but you don't realize at the time, but, like, I have to see this, it's a movie that I want to see. Like, all of, like, all the big budget movies that have come out lately, like the Marvels, the DCs.
Uh-huh.
I know, like, when I saw Wonder Woman, I'm like, all right, it's a DC movie, but I saw Suicide Squad, I saw Batman v Superman, they were okay, and then you're like, Wonder Woman's like, oh, pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Like, that movie was just...
that we talked about... I recorded episode 8 for Podcastrophy yesterday, and we talked about Wonder Woman and how it was such a redeeming movie for DC.
Yeah, and then, like, you see, like, the Justice League trailer that came out after that, and it's, like, heavy on the Wonder Woman. You're like, they figured out what worked. They know that was there. That was the thing that worked. Let's put more Wonder Woman, less everything else.
Dude, I just don't understand the writing. Yeah. Like, whoever's been writing for these movies has just been... what? Why do you still have a job?
Like, I feel like since the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds, it's just all been not great.
Oh, boy.
Did you see the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds?
Years and years ago, yes, I did. And I remember being really excited for it because I love Ryan Reynolds. He's such a funny dude, and I love that the trailers were hilarious. And then I watched the movie, and it wasn't what I expected. I ended up falling asleep at some point. Yeah.
Like, I think, like, the best part was, like, when he's like, dude, you're green. And he's like, I know! And yeah. I was like, oh, this will be funny. And then it's just, like, not at all okay. I mean, that's the only good thing that came out of it. I think it was he met Blake Lively, and then they married, had kids, all that
yeah.
fun stuff.
Yeah.
Personal life, great. Movie, not so much. But then he got his own redeeming quality when he, a couple years later, he got Deadpool.
Yeah,
off the
yeah. And yeah. Now, yeah, okay, so I don't know much about Green Lantern. He's one of the characters I haven't really followed. So I wasn't really too into the whole cheesy, like, him creating, like, these F-15 or F-16 fighter pilots, firefighter jets with this ring and, like, the machine guns and stuff. I don't know. I guess I just wasn't expecting that, and that threw me off.
Yeah, that was kind of...
it was cheesy.
Yeah, I know he's, like, he can create whatever he wants with the power of his mind. I know he was a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
So I understand how... you get from one to the other. I don't know why Max is freaking out now. He's a weirdo, I swear. But yeah, that was one of those things, like, they could have done it so much better, and I feel like it's not like that Fantastic Four movie they remade that was just also
Let me tell you about that movie.
Okay.
Let me tell you about that movie. They could have made a movie. They could have made that movie and called it anything else besides Fantastic Four, and I would have been okay with it.
Yeah, like...
because nothing about that said Fantastic Four.
Okay, right, like, okay, they're not in a spaceship. Okay. They're kids.
Yeah.
Okay. They're...
it was so weird.
And, like, the Doctor Doom of it all, I was like, just the nerdy kid who's got, like, covered in metal and, like, and more go to this weird planet, and I'm just like... you could have been Space Adventure and been the same movie.
Like nothing about that movie said Fantastic Four.
They've never
even
said Fantastic Four once. I know, like, it's a movie. They're not going to say Fantastic Four. But it's like, they're like at the very end, they're like teasing a sequel, and that's like...
a sequel that is never going to happen.
We're never going to see the movie.
If it does, I don't know.
Like, I don't know how many more times you can remake that movie. Like, I know Spider-Man's been done a few times, but I feel like the last Spider-Man really blew it out of the park. But I don't see... I feel like what they need to do is, like, give it back to Marvel, and then Marvel not give the movie and just, like, throw them in as, like, secondary characters in, like, one of their big sprawling movies. But, like, oh, yeah, do you remember these guys? And just, like, do the Spider-Man like they did in Civil War, and just, like, oh, yeah, we remember the family that lives on this, like, tower who has superpowers we've never talked about before? Hey, here they are. They're gonna help. Just see some dude play the thing, just punch a dude in the face.
Yeah.
Like, okay, then. Like, I would be fine with that. Or give them to the Fox and that, or like give them to the Deadpool universe they've created and have them help him out.
That would be interesting.
I mean, it's still under Fox, so that's something that would take it out of their X-Men or their own separate universe, either throw it into X-Men or throw it into Deadpool.
Deadpool has fought Galactus.
So I mean, it could be done, and it's something if they give it to those writers and like that team, they might be able to do something interesting with it, because they're gonna do another movie after this one, I believe. They've already announced that they're gonna do a third movie that's gonna be like was it Task Force X or whatever they call it?
Oh, X Force.
I don't know, Task Force X. Yeah,
yeah. I saw a new thing. I don't know how real it was, but it said for the New Mutants or something.
Oh, I saw that trailer. The New Mutants is a separate movie that they're doing. It's going to be like an X-Men horror series they're going to try to do. It had Maisie Williams.
Okay with that.
And I just look like it was like they're all in an asylum type place. And then there was, it looks like they were being like tested on. And there was like freaking out. They're going through all these things and their powers are screaming out. And it looked, I don't know, it looked like it would fit in like one of those like Blumhouse productions. But I'm intrigued by it. I don't know much about these New Mutants to know really
what
we're getting into, but that trailer has my attention, that's for sure. It almost looks kind of like Stranger Things meets X-Men, so I'm kind of into that. So I think I'm up for that. And I guess with new things, you kind of talked about a little bit before, but are there any other new TV shows you're keeping up with?
Stranger Things. I kind of want to see what's going to happen with that Black Lightning series.
Yeah, that...
I have no idea anything about it.
Yeah, it's the new CW superhero show that it's not going to be directly tied to the current CW verse that's coming out in the spring, if I'm not mistaken. Or during, like, the mid-season.
I think it's going to... I think it's going to flounder.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea because it's, like, retired superhero and his family who also have powers. And it's gonna, I feel like it's going to be a lot like the X-Men. Little bit with, like, him dealing with his family who has gifts. But I think it's a smart move to not tie them to the current CW world because you can end up with problems if it doesn't work. They haven't had to cancel outright a CW show that they've established. And I think you couldn't really do without pulling those characters into another person's show, and that wouldn't do them justice, and you'd lose cast, and you have to recast.
Yeah.
It's just unnecessarily complicated. Like, we almost lost Supergirl going in because, like, it was on CBS, and then it didn't really work, and they're like, okay, we're canceling it. And it's like, Sue was like, no, we're just going to take that whole cast, that whole world, and we're just going to take it to our show. Like,
nice.
And it just...
I thought it was on... I started on CBS.
That was the first season, and...
That's why I didn't expect the crossover.
Right. And luckily, because it was still Greg Berlanti, they were still the same, like, the same production company was still doing it, so they couldn't bring her to a CW show. That's why they had to bring The Flash in, because... easier to give a character to a bigger network than to take one from a bigger network.
Uh-huh.
So it was interesting, and I know now that that's happened, a lot of the crossovers, these big bowling cars, have kind of been more commonplace. And we've actually seen there's been a announcement that Constantine, who's actually been a character from another TV, or I think it was Fox, maybe? I think that was the channel he was on?
Yeah.
They've announced that he's going to be on an episode of Legends that's going to be coming out this season.
I enjoyed him in Arrow.
Yeah, that was...
A couple episodes.
Did you ever watch any of Constantine when it was the
no,
show?
No, I did not.
I watched, like, a first couple episodes. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know, because I saw the Constantine movie that, like...
Keanu Reeves
did with, like, Shia LaBeouf, and it was like, this is a little weird. But I like his character in small dose. I think peppering him into the shows, like, one episode a season or a couple episodes a season, give him a little arc would be awesome, but...
Uh-huh.
So they did it with, like, Jonah Hex. Like, the Jonah Hex movie they made... with Josh Brolin, like, flopped horribly.
Yeah.
But putting him in, like, two episodes of Legends, like, last season was just fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. If only they would have had Josh Brolin.
That would have been fun. Yeah,
I love Josh Brolin.
He's a good guy.
Him playing a young Agent K in Men in Black 3 was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that Men in Black 3, that's a whole nother... It was an okay movie. I liked it.
I liked it better than 2. Loved it. Actually, I loved it compared to 2.
Yeah, 2 also. But actually, 3 would have been a better sequel to 1 than 2 was.
It really... Yeah, you're right.
Like, thinking of Erased 2 and had it gone into 3, and it would have been perfect. Because, like, 2, they threw away... Like, they didn't bring back, like, that one girl, and then they had that whole thing with... the dude from Jackass.
Oh, Johnny Knoxville.
They brought Johnny Knoxville in this weird character with a little dude on... Like, the little mini him. I was like... What? No, this is...
Johnny Knoxville's early ventures into film.
Yeah. Him and, like, that whole...
Speaking of Men in Black, though, like...
Okay.
Have you heard of the Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover?
I have.
Is that still a real thing, or...
I think so. Like, I haven't heard anything that said it's off
That's
the table.
So weird.
But it's like, is it going to be Channing Tatum? Like, I don't know if it's using those two worlds, or if they're going to try and blend the movies. I don't think you're going to be able to get... I don't think we're going to get Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith back for that crossover.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Like, I don't think they're going to expect that much return to bring those four guys back. And they kind of buttoned up the story really nice in Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're bringing that world in, you have to tie it to what's came before. Otherwise, it's just... You're almost going to say that it's going to make an X-Files crossover at that point. Because it's not what made those movies good. So I don't think you could really bring those... But I liked... The new 21 Jump Street with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. Those were
completely different, off the wall.
Yeah. Don't pray to Korean Jesus. You're not doing anything for your white ass. I was like, what is What? Yeah, I liked those.
I did too.
I think the big twist at the end of like the first one when they had a Johnny Depp and the dude from like the TV show.
Yeah.
Coming, they've been undercover for like 10 years or something in this gang, and they're like, you blew it right in the last
they're the OG fucking 21 yeah. Jump Street guys.
Yeah, and I think if they could easily, I think you could bring, if they wanted to tie it into the Men in Black and make this crossover movie, I think if they brought back in Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones in for like 5 minutes at the end of that movie, it would pay off, and they wouldn't have to pay them an absorbent amount of money to do this. Because I feel like if you pay Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones a ton of money to do that, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are going to want the same amount or something up there, and it's really going to make that movie too costly up front to even get off the ground. But bring in two random agents or tie it loosely, have one of the other agents, maybe the one that was in the movie. Like, bring in the girl with the dark hair from the first one.
Or bring in Patrick Warburton.
That would be funny. I would be up for that.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's done some... that voice is so iconic, even from, like, back in Seinfeld days, and, like, as the Tick, and...
Yeah.
I would watch another movie with him. Put him in a Marvel movie. I'd love it. I don't know who he would be.
He
could have been a good Vision, to be totally honest.
Oh,
could
man.
You imagine just that voice?
Oh, man. I love his voice. His voice is, like, the best part about him, besides his, like, completely managed good looks.
That's
like,
I
holy
like
wow.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
That voice.
His voice. Him and, like, I remember the first time I really appreciated his voice was The Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
Him as Kronk.
God, I love that. Wrong lever.
I wish I could. If I wasn't, like, sick-ish right now, I would totally just do that voice. But
Emperor's Groove is another good movie.
There aren't very many Disney movies I don't like.
Yeah. I can't remember who the voice, the Emperor, the main, the other guy.
David Spade.
Was it David Spade?
David Spade. Really? David Spade and John Goodman was Pancha. Pacha.
John Goodman. More good things with John Goodman. Gotta like it. Gotta like it. All right, I guess kind of moving down the list here. One thing we're still talking about kind of the CW shows and some of that stuff. News came out this week that Victor Garber's actually leaving Legends of Tomorrow. He got a gig returning to Broadway to play, I think, on Hello Dolly with some other actress. And he, like, starts, like, beginning of next year. So that means he's going to have to wrap up his chance on the season here pretty quick within, like, the first... Like, they've been filming since, like, July, so they'll probably have at least the first half of the season recorded already.
Yeah.
So, but there's going to be a point where they're going to have to get rid of that character, and I don't know if that means they're going to have to get rid of the other half of Firestorm as well. I don't know if you've read much into that.
I haven't read anything into it, but I definitely like Victor. I definitely like his character on there. I don't really have much to say on this, but I think it's going to be a bummer not having Firestorm there.
Right. So I feel like you couldn't keep Jefferson around because he can't become Firestorm without Stein. And then they could try doing what they did like before Legends came into a show and they had finding someone to replace
Ronnie.
I was about to say
Robbie,
but that's the actor's name. But finding someone to replace Ronnie, and they went through it. So they could almost do that again, but I don't think it would work. I don't think there's someone that they has a big enough personality to play opposite Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, you couldn't... Like, I was like, oh... At first, I was like, oh, you could bring Ronnie back. And I was like, but then you'd have two of the same... Like, both... Two of the bodies. And those not gonna... Like, you could make Jefferson the... But I just don't think it would work. But I don't want to see that cold character go away because I love their rapport with each other and with the rest of the team.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know. I'm just... I don't know what they're gonna do about it. Because, like, they got rid of, like... In the first series, they got rid of what didn't really work, which was that whole... The whole thing with Hawk Girl and Hawkman and that whole thing just didn't really... Like, I liked the ending, but it was a really weird arc, and they really made up for it in the second season. And you're current on Legends,
yes.
Aren't you? So when they have it... I know we're going to go into this a lot more on your show that we're going to record later, but I want to see how they're going to kind of make up for that absence, if they're going to try and bring another character, if they're going to try a new fusion. Because they said, in the articles I read about, they said that they've been playing this for a while because before he had to go to the... guys at CW and with Berlanti Productions, all that, with him leaving the show. So I know they have, maybe they're going to tie it up in the crossover. Who knows what they're going to happen. Maybe bring in
maybe
alternate universe Stein, who's another guy altogether.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be funny.
And one thing I thought would be kind of fun is to kind of Jarvis him.
What if they did? Yeah, I think you mentioned that in our group chat.
Yeah, and I was like, it would make sense, like, get him to record the voice in New York with the rest of the cast, or not with the rest of the cast, just with the crew, record it, play it back, and just have it work. But yeah, I don't know how well that will work with his like 8 shows a week, but if they could do it, that would be kind of fun, have him just be absorbed. But with the alternative universe thing, you kind of had a thought there.
Yes, I have a thought, and it's making me laugh. What if they found another another alternate Harrison Wells?
That would be ridiculous.
That would be ridiculous, and I would love
Kavanaugh,
it. Just keep having him on the show. I love Tom Kavanaugh.
Yeah, and yeah, or even have like the guy from. Yeah, there's so many other like. I would be for that.
Keep finding excuses to bring him back.
Have him just do a crossover.
What the hell else is he doing these days?
Yeah, I don't even know. We'll talk about this more, but I don't even know what he's going to do on Flash because he wasn't in that first episode.
No. I'm sure he'll make it, like the other Harrison Wells will make an appearance, and because HW's dead.
Right. Spoilers. But still, if you haven't watched it now and you're watching my show, shame on you. You should know. But yeah, bring back Tom Felton.
Tom Felton, yeah.
I liked him. He was funny.
Yeah, I liked the relationship between him and Barry was cool.
Yeah. And I guess kind of getting away from shows, I feel like we could talk for hours and hours. And I know we are going to talk for hours on this later.
We could.
Yeah, but I guess going back to it, you've been podcasting for a bit now. I've been podcasting for a bit now. I know there's listeners we have that either like podcasts or maybe have an interest in podcasting. Is there something that like you could tell that you would tell yourself yourself before they recorded even their first bit of podcasting? Like, if you can go back and be like, tell yourself something that you know now that you wish you would have told yourself at the beginning to do something differently, try something new, if there was anything that, or do you just like how the course has gone?
It depends which podcasting self you're referring to, because you have me now, and then you have the ancient one from way back in the day.
Let's start with your first time, your recent re-emerging
the real podcasting?
Yes.
I don't know, because, okay, so the first time I did a real podcast would be one of the earlier episodes of Journey into Comics, which was the first metal cast that we did.
Okay.
With that was back when Brandon was doing his solo cast when Nate couldn't come on.
Right.
And so we turned in, his solo cast turned into a metal cast. And my partner guest on that episode was Nick Torres. And he told me later on, he's like, dude, when you get excited talking about something, you forget to breathe. Like, you just keep talking until you run out of air. And I think I've kind of noticed that. It's become something I've been aware of since then. But I don't know. Like, I haven't really changed much. I was also doing the segments.
Right.
For JIC. And I would say just quit. Find out a way to not talk in circles, because I kept repeating myself and going back to the same thing and repeating, oh yeah, that was really cool, that was really fantastic, I loved it,
and then going back
and then it's like, ah, it was just so good.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, like, and I've noticed this too. I record a lot by myself, and it's hard to, because like when you're talking with another person it keeps the flow going.
Yes.
But when you're by yourself and you're just staring at a screen and there's nothing to talk to, you're just kind of like circling your, like, it's hard to, like, you have a sheet in front of you, like, what you want to talk about, but you're like, okay, now I was going to do this, and then I was going to do, and it's just like, there's not a, you can't bounce it off someone, you can't get time to think. And I know a lot of the times I'll be talking, and my mouth will dry, and I'm like, hold on 1 second, I'll drink water, and then I will go back when I finish the episode and just cut that out, and then, I jump back into it, and I'm like, and I was like, oh my God. Like, the first couple episodes, and then, like, Nate called me, and he's like, you know, you say a lot while you're on your first couple episodes. I was like, yeah, that probably happens. Because you're like, you're thinking. And I'm always like, I have to keep talking. I'm only one on the show. I can't have pauses. And it's like, and I was like, oh, don't.
What's that called? Is that like an idiosyncrasy or something like
that? Yeah, I think it's when you, I'm doing it now. When you have to go back, and I think you have to fill space with something, and you're using like a placeholder. Yeah, my dog just like stop moving your feet. He really hates when I move feet. He's weird. But it's one of those things you have to, I think, keep saying something, and you can't prevent yourself from pausing. I think you're using just a random sound to kind of let your mind catch up with what you want to say next.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it's called though, but it's something that I think people do tend to do, and like especially like when they're in front of people and they're nervous, they don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they drop those, or like first time like news anchors will do that a lot as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and that's something I would definitely go back and say to like a first time podcast, just be like, take your time. You know that you can edit this when you're done. It's not live.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've done some live shows, and it probably adds a little bit more pressure to you. That was
it does a little bit.
Wasn't that that was your first episode ever of Podcast Free was live.
Episodes 1 and 5 were live.
I know you had your, and I think you've talked about this before, how your like first live episode cut off at some point after an indeterminate amount of time.
Our internet went out around the 56, 57 minute mark. And I told Brandon right from the get-go, I'm like, hey, dude, just ignore what people are saying in there. Don't. Like, they know we're recording, but the podcast that we're recording doesn't know we're live streaming.
Right.
And then he's just like, oh. I'm like, what? He's like, our live feed. Our live feed is over. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, free trial over.
Yeah. And is it, do you do anything different when you decide that you're going to make it a live episode? Do you still keep the same flow and you just, this is in the background? Like, you could have been recording this whole time and I probably wouldn't even have noticed.
No, I don't really with the episode with Richard, episode 5. With that episode, we kind of reacted a little bit to the comments. I don't like doing that because then it gives the people just listening, it doesn't give them anything.
Right.
They have to sit there and be like, "Okay, what the hell is he talking about?"
You can't like read people's comments, but yeah. Like it's like if like maybe if you want to do like a special like maybe like a Q&A episode with your live feed audience, then you'd play those questions back. That might make sense, but like otherwise, you're like, he's talking about something I'm not even seeing. I don't know what he's talking about. It's like watching a TV show, but just hearing your comments, but like no one knows that you're actually watching the TV show. You're like, did you just see that? I didn't.
Nope.
What are you? Okay.
A lot of the podcasts, like the bigger podcasts, like Game Over, Greggy, Rooster Teeth. I watch those, and they're very visual. They do the video too. And so they'll make it a point for those listening and not watching. So, yeah. But other than that, like my stream does not change.
Okay. And I guess I kind of want to talk about one thing, but I realize I like the flow of this. I don't really want to bring it down. So I think I want to just end this here and let's not talk about this negative thing.
Okay.
So I think that's been it for the Poor Report. I'm your host, Andrew Poor. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks again, Blaine, for hosting me tonight here and putting me up in his house and showing me his nice setup he has for podcasting. And we wanted to have him up in my neck of the woods and record using mine.
Oh, yeah.
Till next time, I'm Andrew Poor.
And I'm Blaine.
Have a great day.